wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show.
Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
And now, your host, Gary Null.
To what you have to say, they're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about a study from the University of Illinois about how yoga is good for your brain. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal of Brain Plasticity. We have about 14 more studies that we're going to be sharing with you, all from peer-reviewed literature, showing you how you can live a longer and healthier life. Also today, since I've done a lot of commentaries, four commentaries last week, and the latest being on the environment, and that was on Friday, I'm not going to do a commentary today, but I am tomorrow, and I have some really heavy-duty discussions this week coming on a lot of topics with a lot of important people, including three of the world's leading experts on not just G5, but who's behind it, what's their motives, how have they played the system. So I think you will find that interesting. And tomorrow from London, we'll be having a guest on the Noon Show talk about the environment and why we are in a position where we must begin to take care of the future by ourselves or in small groups or intentional communities, because no one's going to look after us. They're not now, they haven't in the past, and they're certainly not going to in the future. Also today, we're going to have an insight into standing up for what is right. A group of nurses, 22,000 nurses, said, no, we're not going to allow ourselves to be given these stupid and reckless vaccines. And they stood up and they won. Good news there. Also, you may never have heard of him. He's an outstanding scientist. His name is Barry, B-E-R-R-I-E, Trower, T-R-O-W-E-R. And he is giving us two separate reports on that there is no safe level whatsoever microwave radiation for children, as well as wireless technology damages children and the future generations. Also today, we're going to take a look at vaccine courts and big pharma, and the entire thing is corrupt. And it's narrated by Rob Schneider. So we have, and these are relatively short, and you can watch these, by the way, if you're on the internet right now. You can go to youtube.com/prnfm, youtube.com/prn.fm. But most people listen to this program in the archive, generally in the evening. Here's our archive number, anywhere in Canada and the United States, you can listen in, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. We'll be going to our voicemails tomorrow. I don't have time today. But if you'd like to call and share a thought with us, please do, or a question. That number, our voicemail is 862-800-6805. Again, 862-800-6805. We'll begin taking your calls again tomorrow. Now to the latest on health and healing. Scientists, according to the University of Illinois, have known for decades that aerobic exercise strengthens the brain and contributes to the growth of new neurons. But few studies have examined how yoga affects the brain. A review of the scientific literature finds evidence that yoga enhances many of the same brain structures and functions that benefit from aerobic exercise. This review, published in a peer-reviewed journal, focused on 11 separate studies of the relationship between yoga practice and brain health. Five of the studies engaged individuals with no background in yoga practice in one or more yoga sessions per week over a 10 to 24-week period. And they compared brain health at the beginning and end of the intervention. And the other studies measured brain differences between individuals who regularly practice yoga and those who don't. And they used MRIs and functional MRIs, or single photon emission computerized tomography. All involved hatha yoga, that's H-A-T-H-A, which includes body movements, meditation, and breathing exercises. And the results were very positive. You have a part of your brain called the hippocampus, H-I-P-P-O, hippocampus, C-A-M-P-U-S. It's involved in memory processing, and it's known to shrink with age. And it is also the structure that is first affected in dementia and Alzheimer's disease. And though many studies are exploratory and not conclusive, there are some that are conclusive, showing that yoga allows important brain changes. And that's what this found. The amygdala, that's a brain structure that contributes to emotional regulation, tends to be larger in yoga practitioners than in their peers who do not practice yoga. And the prefrontal cortex and the cingulate cortex and the brain networks, such as your default mode network, also tend to be larger or more efficient in those who regularly practice yoga. So that's what we're finding, and this is all very important. So that's what's going on right now. So do your yoga and have a better brain. That's the takeaway message. Now, separately, from Lincoln University in Denmark comes a study about beneficial changes in metabolic profiles using selenium and coenzyme Q10, especially if you're an older person. So the older you get, the more important selenium and coenzyme Q10 are for normal cellular function. In fact, low selenium intake leads to an increased cardiovascular death rate. And that's important to know this. So take your coenzyme Q10 and take your selenium, 200 micrograms of selenium, maybe 300 milligrams of Q10, and you can help prevent that. That's important. And this was a double-blind study. Also, a good study came out of National University of Singapore that shows that eating mushrooms can prevent cognitive decline in seniors. And that's good. And I would always suggest that you saute your mushrooms first. It reduces the fiber and allows more of the actual phytonutrients to be absorbed into your body. So having a diet that consists of a lot of mushrooms could significantly reduce your chances of losing brain function later in life. How much? Well, generally 300 grams. That's a half a plate of mushrooms every week. That's not a lot. Shiitake mushrooms, white button mushrooms. Yeah, it's anti-inflammatory. And it has specific phytonutrients responsible for turning off inflammation in the body. And that's good for you. Also, there's a root commonly found all over the southern United States. You'll see it growing on fences, up telephone poles. It's called kudzu, K-U-D-Z-U. Most think of it as just a pesky vine. But in point of fact, it's been used, according to the University of Macau and Zhenyi Medical University in China, as a part of important traditional herbal medicine for a long, long time. It's used to treat diabetes. So they wanted to see, is this natural treatment for diabetes realistic? So this was published in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. They summarized the beneficial effects of the ingredient in kudzu called purarin, P-U-E-R-A-R-I-N. It's the active ingredient. And they gave it to people with diabetes mellitus and the complications of diabetes. And so this perennial vine was extremely beneficial. I've always suggested for people I'm counseling who have alcohol problems or athletes who have muscle tension or people with diarrhea, it's extremely good. And it's a natural isoflavin, and it's a functional food, and it uses a medicinal food in the East. And it's also good for cardioprotective and neuroprotective and anti-inflammatory actions. So it's really good, something that inexpensive, that easy, and you can get it in most health food stores. Also, findings based upon a review of more than 140,000 veteran health records from the Veterans Administration of Palo Alto, California, published in the Journal of General Internal Medicine, found that non-drug therapies given to military service members with chronic pain can reduce the risk of long-term adverse outcomes like alcohol and drug disorders and self-induced injuries, including suicide. And this is important. So we'll get into all those on an upcoming program. So that's the latest on health and healing. Now, we're going to take a quick break and come right back. Please stay with us.
Thousands of nurses rise up in defiance of Big Pharma's flu shot threats. More than 22,000 nurses in the United States are risking their jobs by taking a stand against Big Pharma and refusing to submit to the flu shot, a vaccine that the CDC admitted is ineffective. Nurses who refuse to be inoculated with the seasonal flu vaccine have been forced to wear face masks when working on the wards, and now face being fired if they do not submit to Big Pharma and receive the flu shot. The nurses who have mobilized to form Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccinations to fight the corporate powers that rule their industry claim the face masks are demeaning and ineffective, as well as an infringement of their constitutional rights. Not only is this a human rights violation, it is also an EEOC violation, pointing out that the flu vaccine's ineffectiveness has been called into question many times. The nurses are willing to lose their jobs rather than submit to Big Pharma and the government's increasingly authoritarian stance on mandatory vaccinations. We believe that we have a moral duty to protest against mandatory vaccinations and stop the normalization of the idea in society. It's an infringement of our constitutional rights and has not even been proven effective, a spokesperson said. Claiming that they are being punished for daring to stand up to Big Pharma, the nurses point out that the Center for Disease Control has even admitted that this season's flu vaccine will not work in preventing the flu for more than 50% of people who receive the vaccination. Dr. Karen Sullivan Seibert, a pro-vaccine doctor, has even sided with the Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccinations. She agrees that the rule violates HIPAA law, and that pharmaceutical companies, hospitals, and the government have conspired to take away the nurses' constitutional rights. And these rights are being eroded because of money. Hospitals run the real risk of being defunded if they do not force their staff to be vaccinated. Considering how closely Big Pharma and government are linked, it should come as no surprise to know that hospitals are required to have a 90% flu vaccination rate among their staff, or they'll be punished by losing 2% of their funding. The corrupt, predatory, and deceitful practices that are systemic in the medical, healthcare, and pharmaceutical industries don't stop there. The same money-driven motivation applies to doctors, who are paid by pharmaceutical companies to reach quotas of vaccinated children. For instance, Blue Cross pays Michigan doctors a $400 bonus for every child they inoculate with the 24 recommended vaccinations by the age of 2 years, including 2 flu shots. A doctor must have more than 63% of the patients in their practice with all 24 vaccinations. If they don't hit their 63% target, they get no money at all. Zero. Now you know why pediatricians are so quick to blast parents that refuse to comply with doctors' orders. Your love, concern, and care for your child's well-being is costing them money. Just as the nurses, who are refusing to receive the flu shot, are running the risk of the hospitals they work in being defunded, your child is little more than a numerator hit and income center for doctors and Big Pharma. Is your doctor on the take from Big Pharma? Click the link in the description box.
Okay. Did you hear what she had to say? The doctors and hospitals are paid a lot of money for every patient they get to be vaccinated. So there's the financial inducement. There's your pay to play. And this is just utterly corrupt at every level. Just want to share that with you. So for all the nurses standing up out there, good for you. We stand with you. And if you want information on why you should not have to vaccinate, we'll give you a little idea. I'm going to ask Luann, if you're listening, to call in our number and tell them about what happened last week when you called me and told me of a nurse that was being threatened to be fired and what we gave her and what the outcome was. I think the other nurses listening right now or people who know nurses should know this. We have tools. We have information, scholarly information, and all of our information is legally vetted with the intent that if a person has to go to court, they have information that can be supportive to their position. So as soon as she gets on the line and tells the story, I'll put her on. Now we're going to hear from Barry Trower, T-R-O-W-E-R. Barry is a scientist. He has a long, distinguished history in working in the field that he's about to speak on. But unlike many of his peers, he tells the truth. And he's telling us the truth about wireless technology, what you see every commercial nearly on television about 5G, 5G. Unfortunately, not just millennials or teenagers are being manipulated into believing it's safe and wonderful and will connect to the Internet of all things, but adults as well. We've written 4 articles challenging 5G, and we also have a call to action where we have all the dozens of videos from medical doctors and scientists testifying under oath about why it's dangerous. Please avail yourself of these. Become prepared. Intentionally aware. Go to prn.fm, that's prn.fm, and you'll see these articles. Download them. Now this is Barry Trower. I'm going to go in 2 segments. One is 2 minutes long, one is 6. But they deal with why radiation of any type is bad for a child.
What's happening is you should be measuring the amount of radiation in the room and seeing if it is safe for children. But I can tell you, without even looking, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. Because unlike medication, where there is a safe level for children, they have an adult dose and a child's dose, there is no safety level for microwave radiation for children. Not one. And it is my job as scientific advisor, I read, I translate papers from all around the world. And I have never, ever, no matter which country I've lectured in, which paper I've read, I have never, ever seen a single scientist brave enough to produce a safety level of microwave radiation for a child. There isn't one that exists. And I will tell you why. Because children do not have our immune systems. They're not developed. Their bones are soft. The microwaves penetrate very easily. Inside their bones, they are producing stem cells, which make their immune systems and all other parts of their body. Their skulls are thin. There is a whole myriad of things which can go wrong, and children absorb more radiation than adults because they are smaller. They are nearer the wavelength, so they act as aerials. There is not a single safety level of microwaves for children, not one.
Not a single study in the world literature showing microwaves of any type. That means Wi-Fi as well, cell phones. Now, what do you see in every single school in the United States? Wi-Fi. You see computers. And you don't see a single teacher, administrator aware of the lack of scientific evidence that it's dangerous, and it is dangerous. So we have a lot of teachers and administrators listening right now. Please make this an issue. And by the way, he has a whole series that we have on our, in our archives. Take all of his talks. Take the articles we've written. Panorama, the oldest continuous documentary series on the BBC, they did a brilliant half-hour program on Wi-Fi. Took it in the cameras into the school, just a normal school, and they set a monitor up at the same level as a child would be sitting at a desk where there's a computer and Wi-Fi. And the electromagnetic pulses, the frequency that was coming off that, just went right off the charts. Far more than what any child should ever be exposed to. So then they left the classroom and they walked about 100 feet away, and it was still dangerously high, which means the entire school and the playgrounds are all background for electromagnetic frequencies. Now imagine all the flight attendants, imagine all the pilots. They're just nonstop in this. And I wondered years ago why so many of the people coming to see me in by professions were pilots and flight attendants. And first I thought it was because of the background radiation. And then I knew, but I didn't have the science at that time, that there was something else. Now we have the science. They're flooded. Every other seat has a Wi-Fi, and that's why you're able to connect with the internet. Dangerous, extremely dangerous. Could be knocking years off your life. Here's part two.
In schools and kindergartens and children using cell phones.
It is incredibly dangerous, incredibly stupid. And I think the people who authorize it should be locked away for the rest of their lives, because they shouldn't be walking around the planet. And the reason is that, if I can use you as a young girl, if you are a young girl or a young teacher, the microwaves are affecting the eggs, or the immature eggs, the follicles, in your ovaries. 400,000 of them. The radiation is 10 times more dangerous to this DNA than any other DNA in the body, and nobody knows why, it just is. So your eggs are already irradiated and could produce a genetically damaged child if you have one. The biggest danger comes when you become pregnant, because your fetus has your damage if it is damaged by it. But in the fetus, for the first 100 days, it is forming, if it's a girl, its own immature eggs, because they're born with all of them, unlike boys who make sperms. They're born with all of their eggs. So what you are now doing is you are having a fetus inside you, and the eggs as they are forming have no protection, absolutely no cellular protection. They haven't developed it. So you are now irradiating what would be your grandchild. And because the baby in your fetus would be your child, And the eggs inside the fetus will be when this child grows up and has her child. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it is your grandchild, and this is where the biggest danger is. It is in the grandchildren, which won't be born for another 30 to 40 years. That is where the big problem, and this has already been shown with animals who reproduce every few years. We already know this is going to happen. So the people putting Wi-Fi in schools today, I think they should be sent to jail, I really do. Because they are going to cause this, and we don't know how many people it's going to affect, but we do know it's going to affect quite a few. they are going to affect the children to be born in 30 years time, 30, 40 years time. There has also been an experiment that shows microwaves affect the, it's called the P300 complex of the brain. In other words, and there are a couple of papers on this, a child will have delayed thinking. So if a child is sitting an exam, they won't be able to think of the answer straight away. It's delayed. And they'll almost, like a little bit like dyslexia, they won't be able to think of an answer straight away. Or if there's an emergency in their life, there's just a slight delay. And it could affect their examinations. It could affect the whole of their lives. And this has also been shown.
What would your message be to parents and to schools and to kindergartens concerning wireless technologies?
Get rid of them. Get rid of them straight away. There is a solution. A solution is just to use a piece of wire about that long and use a fiber optic cable or a telephone line, and the problem is solved.
By the way, that's also true for 5G. You do not need wireless. You can use fiber optic cables, which do not send off electromagnetic pulses and frequencies, and that would solve the problem. Now, it's very complex, but we're inviting a group of lawyers on who've been working on this for years. And these are top people within the wireless industry to talk about the fraud of 5G. It's really about money, and to give you all the players in the background. They're not going to talk about the diseases and illnesses and that can come from it. They're strictly about, we're showing you who's behind all this. And then it'll all make sense why it's being so heavily promoted when they have a healthy option, just hardwire it. But that's not where the money is. Now, this last short video clip is unfortunately, I was just informed a little while ago that today there's doing maintenance work on the YouTube .com/prn.fm. We do a servicing on it. I was not aware of that. Today's that service. So if you've had a trouble downloading any of these to watch them, they're fixing the system, and it'll be ready tomorrow. But this is really good to watch, and if you want to watch it with someone, we've posted it up on PRN. But you'll still get the message. The message is narrated by Rob Schneider. Thank you, Rob, for having the courage to tell the truth in a community that is paid to promote propaganda. And this is about the vaccine courts and Big Pharma. The vaccine courts are a fraud. The idea that if you have a vaccine-injured child, you can take your case to this vaccine court and you'll get proper remedy is a lie. And I'll give you a solution when we come back. Here it is now.
In the last 30 years, the childhood vaccine schedule has tripled, while the U.S. autism rate has skyrocketed from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 50. Dozens of published research papers show that, yes, vaccines and autism are linked. Yet the debate rages on, in part because of the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, passed by Congress as a result of pharmaceutical lobbying. It shields drug companies from liability for injuries and deaths caused by the vaccines they manufacture. Vaccines that the federal government admits are unavoidably unsafe. To see how this tilted the law in Big Pharma's favor, let's look at Eric, a child suffering from vaccine-induced autism. Had Eric been harmed by a pharmaceutical product other than vaccines, his parents could sue the manufacturer in civil court, entitling them to the standard legal process with a judge, jury, private attorneys, legal precedent, and discovery, all within public view. But for kids like Eric, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act says no. Instead of suing the pharmaceutical company directly, parents of children like Eric are forced to petition the Department of Health and Human Services, and if federal health officials oppose compensation, the case is argued before a special master in the U.S. Claims Court. Many refer to this as vaccine court, though it isn't a court at all, but rather an administrative procedure in which the family asks the government to admit the vaccine caused their child harm and requests compensation for the child's care. Here are some shocking facts about the so-called vaccine court. Pharmaceutical companies do not have to participate in the proceedings at all. Taxpayers pay for all damages. The U.S. Department of Justice acts as the government's lawyer, with taxpayers footing the bill for their defense. The family's attorney is paid out of the trust fund, administered by the Department of Health and Human Services, which has a history of punishing plaintiffs' lawyers by slashing their fees and waiting a decade or more to pay them, leaving some families without any legal representation. There's no required discovery process, so potentially incriminating documents stay hidden in the hands of the vaccine manufacturers. Most hearings are off-limits. No public, no reporters. There's no judge or jury. A special master appointed by the U.S. Court of Federal Claims both presides over the hearings and issues the rulings, which can limit the chance of an objective verdict. Legal precedent is limited, so the program issues contradictory rulings. In the case of Bailey Banks, a special master ruled the boy's autism was caused in fact by the MMR vaccine. Yet in later cases, special masters ruled that vaccines do not cause autism, even though federal compensation has been awarded in at least 83 cases with autism. Almost unbelievably, the Department of Health and Human Services actually owns vaccine patents. When these vaccines are purchased, HHS profits. In the words of Eric's mom, government attorneys defend a government program using government-funded science decided by federal bureaucrats trying to keep their government jobs. Kids like Eric never had a chance. The passing of the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act prompted manufacturers to ramp up development of new vaccines, furiously lobbying the CDC to add their new shots to the recommended schedule. As a result, a baby today receives more vaccinations by 6 months than her mother did by the time she graduated high school. Amazingly, neither HHS nor Congress has ever reviewed the potentially devastating health effects this vaccination surge has had on our children. Today, over half of all U.S. kids suffer from chronic disease and disability. At a November 2012 congressional autism hearing, CDC officials failed to cite even one study backing up vaccine safety claims. Congress is now planning federal hearings to further investigate the vaccine injury compensation program. The next round of hearings begins in November of 2013. If you're outraged by the staggering miscarriage of justice exposed in this video, please visit canaryparty.org now and register.
Okay, here are some solutions. Let's go to Occam's razor. For those of you not familiar with this 14th century theologian philosopher, he used the metaphor of a razor's cutting through all the extemporaneous nonsense and go right to the heart of a matter. That's how we should communicate, not working around the complexity of a problem. What is the simplicity of its solution? When I see the efforts to promote the movie Vaxxed, which has accurate information in it, when I see Andrew Wakefield running around the entire internet, but I don't see him taking the money that's come his way over the last decade and using it to go back into the British courts and to defend himself, because when he was charged with fraud and lost his license, he was one of the people charged, but the person who was the top person on the study, one of the world's greatest gastroenterologists, sued. His case was heard in its entirety, and they threw out all charges against him, reinstated his license, and reinstated his reputation. So by extension, you could say that Andrew Wakefield was also exonerated because they were identical in the charges against them. But Wakefield at the time did not have the money to defend himself, which is unfortunate. But since that time, I would imagine that he has more than done that, since he bought several homes down the Austin area, so from what I'm told. So I would encourage him to go back there and reintroduce the case, so you can then turn around and sue Anderson Cooper and other people that really libeled you and clear your name once and for all. You have Robert Kennedy Jr. doing a yeoman's job of trying to educate the American public about vaccines, but he is only really reaching the people who have already suffered from vaccine injuries. If you go to any rally, and there was just a rally last week in New Jersey, but no one in New Jersey attended it who is of the general population. 90% plus of the people who attended it are people who had come because they too had had children who were injured by vaccines. And that's what we see everywhere. So continuing to have these little showings and have small groups of people, 100, 200, 300 people show up, is going to do nothing, because it has done nothing. The state legislators, including in New Jersey, unfortunately, more often than not, are biased based on who got to them. The American Legislative Exchange Council, lobbyists for Big Pharma. New Jersey has two Assembly Bill 3818, Senate Bill 2173. Again, Senate Bill 2173, Assembly Bill 3818. And according to the different activists who were there, there's a frustration. Even if there is a substantial citizen action, you got to remember, in New Jersey, there the bill would right now cause 40,000 children and students to go out of daycare and pre-K through kindergarten, elementary and secondary schools, and now college higher education with no age limits if they weren't vaccinated. Their religious exemptions gone. So S-2173 and his companion bill A-3818 want to seek to eliminate the rights of New Jersey parents to decline a medical intervention for religious beliefs. These two bills and their supporters don't want you to have freedom of choice over your body. They believe that the state should have freedom of choice over your body. I do not. Look, a lot of people will eat anything they want. And some people make an effort to try to eat healthily. They want to be conscious. They actually study. They'll take online courses. They'll read books. They'll watch videos, because their goal is to be as healthy as they can be. And so they get the information that supports that. But what if you're not that 5% that's actively seeking to be healthy? Then you're assuming that whatever you eat will not have a negative consequence, and you stay intentionally unaware. It's not because people are stupid. That is not the case. Almost everyone I know has mastered multiple things, and it takes a lot of discipline to master it. Even if the discipline is inappropriate and the wrong type of discipline. You know, if you want to join a gang, it takes discipline to get into a gang, to go through the initiations. Even if that initiation is, I was told yesterday from one of the people that I'm seeing through this anti-aging study, which is still going on, and he's from the Los Angeles area, and he said that one of the initiations was that you go out in a car with your lights out, at night, and whoever blinks to try to get you to be aware of that, that's a person you kill. Well, imagine what it takes to so disavow the sanctity and sacredness of life that to join a group of like-minded people are willing to kill anyone to prove they deserve to be in the gang. Imagine the discipline that takes. It's just on the wrong side of discipline. What was the discipline of the Nazis and the fascists in Italy and Hirohito's kamikaze pilots and the invasion of China, the rape of Nanking? All these people were highly disciplined, just in the wrong area. You know, it's just like a politician that's disciplined to convince the public and their constituents of a particular law or bill, and does it on the wrong side. Virtually everyone, Democrat and Republican, voted almost unanimously to support the military-industrial complex while questioning the amount of fraud, the amount of crime and corruption. All they had to do is to look at how many billions of dollars were shipped over to Afghanistan and just disappeared. Billions in cash, whole cargo planes on pallets of cash, missing, gone. Did we stop? No, we just doubled down. Well, what kind of mind does it take to allow such overt corruption? It takes a mind that's highly disciplined and on self-serving notions. So these are not stupid people. Never conflate the idea that someone does something that seems stupid and irresponsible with them being stupid and irresponsible. Because if that's the case, then virtually almost all of our academics would be considered stupid. They're not. They're irresponsible in how they teach frequently, and the lack of encouraging a person to come into a classroom that should be a challenged environment. You should have the opportunity to challenge the instruction, challenge the way it's taught, but with the idea that you want to empower yourself to meet the real world's needs. Instead, we want to not be challenged today. We don't want any professor saying anything that might cause a trigger reaction. But the real world doesn't care if you're a snowflake or a person who's grown up in a bubble, protected from the realities of life. The real world's going to get in your face. And how are you going to deal with that? You're not, except emotionally, and you're going to implode. Good luck on creating a future of people made up of wimps and cowards who are incapable of dealing with life as it is, instead of the manicured, pedicured, completely emulsified, pasteurized, and blanderized candy cotton dreams that we spew out of the average professional class homes each day. Wow, what have you done to your children? They didn't create this narcissism, this entitlement on their own. But this is a part of it. So are those parents going to go and protest the New Jersey bill? None of them. Are the honest legislators going to call out and call their legislative opponents out for being biased because of money and political influence and re-election campaign donations? Not one of them. Who will be the Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington who stands up and filibusters to embarrass those in power? Nobody. All you have is grandstanding to keep one's own power, either going radically left or radically right. It's all corrupt. All systems are corrupt, totally corrupt. And that's unfortunate, because you actually believe the government gives a damn about you, and the government doesn't give a damn about anybody but itself. But didn't we just get some information last week? I don't have time today to play it, about how we were lied about everything about Afghanistan, everything. And who told us? The Inspector General over at the Department of Defense. Did 400-plus interviews, filmed them. Those interviews were never to see the light of day, where people were honest about, we have no idea why we're in Afghanistan. We're clueless. We don't know what to do. We don't know the Afghanistan people. But boy, was there trillions of dollars to be made by the military-industrial complex. Sometimes they found 10 separate contracts for the same bid. That's utter corruption. The government's Department of Defense was missing $21 trillion. Does anybody care? Nobody cares. It's just our money. They'll just print more. So a government that doesn't care to tell the truth about the longest war, 18-plus years in Afghanistan, doesn't care about the people who died I don't care how many times you blow a bugle and play taps and fire in under the air and fold a flag and with a medal and give it to the widow of the person who sacrificed their life for no better reason than politics and profit. Join the army and make Halliburton even richer. Would you join? Some would. Some wouldn't. We were lied to by Kennedy and Johnson, McNamara, Rush, and all the other people, Clifford, about the Vietnam War. We were lied to about the Korean War by MacArthur, Truman. We were lied to about Iraq, the first Iraq War, 91. We were lied to by the Clintons, who were pathological liars, about the lives lost, the 500,000 children from sanctions, then why they didn't stop the genocide in Rwanda. We were lied to. We were lied to by the UN, they're pathological liars. We were lied to about weapons of mass destruction by George Bush and all the people involved, including the New York Times, pathologically lying. We were lied to about the backing of the assassination of Allende in Chile, the institution of Pinochet to take his place. We were lied to 81 times with 81 regime changes since World War II. We were lied to about everything. So let's try to wrap our minds around this. If our government is incapable of telling the truth, and it cannot tell us the truth, and if our government has mastered the art of lying, which it does, then why should you believe anything that anyone from the government says today, like the CDC, racist organization, or the FDA, completely corrupt organization? Why would you believe anything from any agency, since all they do is lie? And no one's ever held accountable. No one. No one at the FBI, completely corrupt organization, CIA, National Security Agency, spying on us, Snowden showed it. Did anyone protest? Were there any street protests? None. Operation COINTELPRO, protests? None. MKUltra? None. The attempt to get Martin Luther King to kill himself because it was discovered how many mistresses he had and how many sexual liaisons, I think 67, none. None. So why should you believe that the vaccines are safe and effective? It's all lies. So if you lie about one thing and it causes Americans to die, why would you assume that they're telling us the truth about anything else? That's on you then. So do you really think that people marching and being told the truth by Robert Kennedy and those who suffered vaccine damage, wanting to stop S-2173, do you really think that the legislators supporting S-2173 and one of the most corrupt, cesspool, degenerate governments in America's history, the New Jersey legislature? Do you think that septic tank of spitting cobras has any integrity at all? Then you're really delusional, in which case you don't have hope on your side. So the only way you're going to stop anything is to have a general strike. And the only way you're going to have a general strike is to educate people as to how they've been used and abused and ask them, are you ready? Are you in enough pain yet to protest? Because thus far, we don't protest in America, not because we don't want to know the truth or don't know the truth. It's because we're too damn lazy to do anything. We don't want to get out of our comfort zones. What is it going to take to get the average American to protest anything in their lives, especially the professional class? When was the last time you saw a march of doctors? You haven't. A protest by nurses, mass nurses going on strike? You haven't. How about all the students who are coming out of college with about $36,000 average debt and don't have the jobs and the in the areas that they went to school because no one decided, let's take a careful look. Do you need college or university? And 80% of the people going to college or university shouldn't go today. There are other ways of earning a living without incurring debt for a job that's not going to be there. Have you looked at, done your homework to see what's happening with artificial intelligence and robotics and automation and visas that are coming in where people are willing to take your job and you thought you were safe? There's no discussion. Any protest? No protest. Do the poor protest? Never. Do the senior citizens protest for eating canned food from cat food? no protests. Teachers not protesting, unless it's their money being affected. Oh, then they'll go on protest in that one school. Is there solidarity? There's no solidarity. We are a nation in trouble and refuse to acknowledge it. And by the way, just to task that out a little bit, on Friday, download the show and listen to it. Because I said that no one's come to save you, not the state government, not the federal government, not your stupid little local governments. They're the most corrupt of all. Nothing but vanity and from insecure people who have no qualifications in life, let alone dealing with people, but have every mastered technique to help themselves. Here's what just came out today. Quote, chaos at UN climate conferences, governments refuse to act. Greta Thunberg slammed the faltering negotiations from the wire. Madrid, frustrations about the negotiation process at COP25, which has all but stalled, boiled over into protests led by young adults at the UN Climate Summit in Madrid, where government representatives have gathered to figure out how they're going to help each other and themselves deal with the effects of climate change. And then it talks about how they did nothing. Nothing. Not the United States doing anything, China not doing anything, India not doing anything. Those are the three leading polluters. So, once again, as I said in my commentary, when the professional class is more interested in their lifestyles and getting the right table at a very important restaurant, even if they serve dog food dressed as a gourmet dish, lack of cultural sensitivity, the issue, they're not protesting anything. So who's protesting? Who's actually wanting to make it a better world? Until you have enough people, 3.5% of the public, join together and protest and do it with the right way, just like vaccines. You know the right way to deal with vaccines? You get Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, irrespective of all the things he has said that he shouldn't have, many of his anti-Semitic statements, and you get them to go to Washington because no other ones are going to do it. They've been asked. They said no. And you get whole congregations, hundreds of thousands, to go to Washington, and you do a general sit-in until such time that the CDC is acknowledged for being an institutionally racist organization, and you get the leading scientist in vaccines to come under oath and tell this story about how African-American boys, 36 months and younger, had a 224% increase in autism spectrum disorder directly related to the mRNA vaccines. They knew it, and that means 100,000 young black boys have ended up with autism because of their institutional racism and the bias that they showed in favor of Big Pharma that controlled them, including Julie Gerberding, who went to work for Merck with a multi-million-dollar job after she left overseeing vaccination at the CDC. And then you go to Congress en masse. And by then, other members within the African-American community will be embarrassed to join them. And you raise hell. You bring in Glenn Ford, Nellie Bailey, the Black Agenda Report, and they then bring in the people, Cornel West and others, and say, reverse the 1986 law. There's your Occam's razor. Go right to the point. Because if you rescind that law, which was political and economic in nature, not scientific, so vaccine makers can be sued for bad vaccines, it would all stop tomorrow. Mandatory vaccines, everything would stop. Because there would be hundreds of thousands of lawsuits, and you make it retroactive. Allow them to sue from 1986 till today. The entire pharmaceutical industry, which shouldn't be doing anything with vaccines, would be out of business. That's how you deal with it. Anything else, it's not going to work. Oh, we just got Lou Anne Panessi on the line. Hi, Lou Anne.
Hello, Gary.
Tell people about the phone call that you gave me last week.
Well, I will tell you that I'm getting at least a dozen calls a week from people who have either vaccine-injured kids or are trying to refuse the vaccine. And many people know that I used to be the program director at the New York College for Stress Management for Nurses, and one of my students called me at midnight, very panicked, saying, you know, I'm an instructor at a Queens college, and someone overheard me teaching students about the dangers of vaccines, and someone reported me to the state, and now they want to terminate me. They're taking a complaint was registered, and the board is needing to meet with me. And she asked me for my advice. And I basically told her, you're going to cower or you're going to go aggressively. And she went aggressively, because if there's one thing they learned in my class was how to be assertive, how to be aggressive, and how to be timid. Which one are you going to be? So she went in armed with two attorneys and all of the articles on PRN.FM. She downloaded them, printed them out. It was a huge stack of paper, and she placed it on the desk, and she said, vaccines are toxic. You have no right to force me to put toxins into my body. It's not my choice, and you cannot terminate my position for this. Well, 3 hours later, they dropped all the charges, and she's back at work. So this works. When you get aggressive with them and you bring a vaccine rights attorneys with you, and they're in New Jersey, they're in New York, they're there for you. But you've got to be able to stand by your convictions. And this woman did, and bravo for her. She's going to be a living example for the rest of the nurses.
She also brought four award-winning documentaries, including Vaccine Nation, Silent Epidemic, and Deadly Deception.
Deadly Deception, yep.
And showing you the corruption and the science of vaccines, plus 50 articles Richard Gale and I have written on the dangers of vaccines. And I have another article tomorrow on Gardasil, the one that is the most controversial of the ones being mandated, showing there's no legitimate science. It's totally corrupt. And so when you take legally sound literature that is scientifically based and you challenge them, if this was a court of law with a jury, they would lose. You've got to get in their face. You cannot win on the defensive. You must win on the offensive. And my final thought on this is for 50 years, for the last 50 years, the entire health movement, I mean every area of health, naturopathy, chiropractic, alternative and complementary medicine, homeopathy, all the body-mind medicine, everyone has been apologizing for their success. Everyone in the field, clinicians, have been looking down at the ground with their hands behind them when confronted by orthodoxy, as if we're sorry that we're able to succeed where you fail. And this is no longer acceptable. And that's why we have to understand that there are at least 400,000 clinicians and therapists using natural, non-toxic ways of helping the body either prevent disease or healing it. And orthodox medicine has no record of that at all, and have done everything to denigrate it using Wikipedia and quacks, watchers, etc. So stand up and affirm that you are healing people, whether you're a holistic medical doctor or nurse or a dentist. You're doing the right thing, and you're on the right side of history, even though you don't have the media and the government on your side to validate this. But you do have the peer-reviewed scientific literature, and you have people who are there and increasing because it works. Remember, we have just spent a half a century feeling as if every success we have should be muted and whispered in silence, and we shouldn't. Speak it out and speak it loud, and be proud of the fact that you are healing people and they're not. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.